I just really want to spend some time reflecting about the relationship between discipleship and church. And please forgive me, kind of what I'm inviting you into kind of is a bit of a thought process that's going on in my mind at the moment. And I'm not sure that it's kind of complete. So in a way, I'm inviting you into the journey that I'm on in my thinking. So kind of some of this may change, but I think kind of it's where I'm coming from, really. When we think about what it means to be a Christian, it just seems only natural to think about it in terms of church. Particularly, you know, for those of us that have a commitment to Christ, church plays a big part in our lives. At times it can kind of feel like church takes over our lives to the exclusion and everything else. And I just found myself wondering just how helpful that is. And I think one of the problems about kind of making this connection between our faith and church is that we can often kind of think in terms particularly of membership, I think, and something that kind of we kind of participate in. It's, you know, church is something that we belong to. It's somewhere we attend. It's not great to see you. Please don't kind of decide not to come. That would not be a good idea. It can feel a little bit like a club. You know, you have your subscription. We call it a tithe. You pay your money or whatever. We can think about what the church offers us. There can be benefits that we receive. You may kind of come here because the worship is what kind of you really connect with. It may be the teaching. It may not be. We don't break my heart too much, please, by saying, you must be joking, Chris. It may be because, you know, the children's work is brilliant and it's the best place for your kids to receive. It may be because you belong to a group. You may have a house group where you feel like you're loved and you're cared for and so forth, or you do stuff. Or it can be in terms of what the church does for others, the programs the church runs, whether it's Alpha or Community Project X. The thing that strikes me is that there's a real danger that church becomes a product that kind of that is provided and we kind of receive. And I think there's a danger that can lead to passivity. That kind of, you know, we sign up and it's great, but kind of we see ourselves as a part of it, but we end up being kind of passive and kind of trading along with the whole thing. I'm not sure that that's always positive. So compare that with discipleship. Don't worry, the list isn't as long. We've been talking a lot about discipleship and how that ought to be kind of how we should be thinking about our relationship with Jesus. Just some of the kind of key points. Disciples are people that are called by Jesus. It involves a personal commitment. It involves saying yes to Jesus and being willing to leave behind old patterns of life and follow him. It requires a personal relationship with the person who is discipling us, with Jesus himself. Part of discipleship is to become more like the one that is discipling you. So more like Jesus. I have to say, of all the new songs of the last year, kind of Spiritful that we just sung, has been one of the ones that kind of has really kind of touched me more than most. It's the work of the Holy Spirit within us to form us into the image of Jesus, to refine us and to make us more like him. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to share in the same relationship with God that Jesus shared with his Father. It's the Holy Spirit that means that the power that was available to Jesus can be available within us. So we become more like Jesus. But more than that, we're called as disciples to share in Jesus' ministry. If you look at the disciples in the New Testament, they trailed around with him. They spent a lot of time watching what Jesus did. And then he sent them out to do it, and they came back and reported back how it had gone, and they kind of downloaded all of that. And then it kind of, the ultimate thing is that they were called to participate in it. That every one of them, there wasn't kind of a different level of membership. Being a disciple was about doing what Jesus did. And disciples are called to fulfill the Great Commission. That's the ultimate end of sharing in Jesus' ministry. You know, every disciple is called to make new disciples. It's kind of that whole thing of passing on the baton. It's the eternal relay race, if you like. Discipleship is a much more active thing. There can be a passivity about church membership, but there's no passivity about being a disciple. There's no sense of kind of receiving. We all have to give and to receive. We all have to play our part. So kind of, where does church fit into this? Is church even necessary? It's actually not an uncommon question. Once upon a time, it used to be asked by people that were outside of church. You know, I believe in God, I've got faith, but I don't know that I really need to have anything to do with church. It's Jesus that matters, or God that matters. It's a personal thing, a private thing. Actually, it's interesting that increasingly it's being asked by people in church for all sorts of reasons. People kind of get disillusioned by church and kind of say, well, I want the God stuff, I want the Jesus stuff, but I don't know that I really want the church stuff. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. There's a sense that actually I think people are increasingly like, I want Jesus, but I don't know that I want church. And actually it's not surprising. Often church gets negative press. It can be seen as an outmoded institution. Kind of people that go to church, sorry if I'm about to insult everybody, but kind of, you know, people kind of make sense. Oh, I think people go to church are hypocrites. Those sorts of phrases come out all too easily. People question, did Jesus ever meet to start a church? Or church is seen it's perceived to be boring or uninteresting, a place where you will go to attend something, services or whatever. So there's a lot of negative press about church, and you could add to that list. I said this time we're wanting to think about what it means for us to be growing together in faith, kind of those three aspects of discipleship: our relationship with God, our relationship with each other, our relationship with God's world. What does it mean for us to be in relationship with each other as disciples? And it seems to me that if we are thinking about the corporate part of being a disciple, of being connected to each other, of needing each other, actually we can't do that without church. And it seems to me so often kind of churches kind of become either or. You know, the church is either about the word or it's about the spirit. It's either about kind of the gospel or it's about caring for the poor. The list kind of goes on. We could say, is it about church or is it about discipleship? And actually, it seems to me that actually we shouldn't be either or, but we should be both. And, you know, what we do should be built on God's word, but it should be led and inspired by his Holy Spirit. It requires both sides. We should be concerned about people discovering Jesus and the fact that he loved them enough to die for them on the cross. But to not be concerned about their physical needs would be absolutely repellent. There'd be something completely gross and wrong about that. And actually, we need to shake up our idea of what church is meant to be about. But actually, we need both. We need a sense of the commitment that comes with discipleship, but also a vision of what church is meant to be like and how the two fit together. Because it just seems to me that God's purpose in church is in how we enable discipleship to happen between ourselves. It's fascinating that only once in the Gospels does Jesus specifically refer to church. And that's why I had Giles read the passage he did today. And I've spoken about it before, so I'm not going to go into it in a massive amount of detail. Just to kind of highlight the key points. You know, this the time when he gathers his disciples at Caesarea Philippi is the pivotal moment when everything changes in the Gospels. Up until then, it's been a ministry that's been based around Galilee, and it's been a kingdom-based ministry. He's called people to repent because the kingdom of heaven is near. That's the heart of his message. He's taught about the kingdom. When he says a parable, he's often saying the kingdom is heaven is like a mustard seed, or it's like a man that sowed seeds. And so much of his teaching has been about the kingdom. And he's also demonstrated what the kingdom is like. He has healed the sick. He's driven out demons. He's cared for the broken. He's forgiven people bound up in sin. He's even raised the dead. He's shown us what it's like to live under God's kingly rule. And he's challenged the church, dare I say, of his day. He's challenged the religious authorities, especially their religious prejudices. And now it's time to kind of see whether people have got his ministry. And so he asks the disciples, the people have seen this, so who do they say I am? And there are all these answers. Yeah, a prophet, Elijah come back, John the Baptist raised from the dead. You know, there are a multitude of answers. And then the question is refocused on the disciples. Who do you say I am? And we all know Peter's answer. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it kind of elicits this response from Jesus to Peter. And I tell you, you know, your name will be Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. And kind of it's at this point the focus changes from Galilee and for the kingdom up to Jerusalem and the cross. And that journey begins. And we've talked about this before. But kind of in the context of that, we get this incredible kind of declaration that on this confession of who Jesus is, that Jesus is going to build his church and that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It is the only specific time Jesus mentions church, but he says an awful lot in it. He says he will build my church. It's not the Church of England's church, it's not the Baptist church, it's not your church, it's certainly not the Vicar's church. It's Jesus's church. And that's, if there's ever a reason why we can't dismiss church as being irrelevant, it's because Jesus says it's my church. This is mine. This is what matters to me. And it's interesting that I have to say it's a great source of relief that actually it's Jesus that takes the responsibility for its growth. I'm going to build my church. You might think to build this church you need a better vicar or whatever. Actually, what we need to be is as close to Jesus as we possibly can. It's not my church, it's his church. He's the one that promises to build it. It's his responsibility for its growth. And what's exciting, particularly in these days when there's so much negative press about church, when we can look at church and kind of think, what does the future of church look like? Actually, Jesus makes it really clear that its ultimate future is secure, that nothing will prevent its ultimate triumph. The gates of Hades, the gates of hell, will not prevail against it. There's nothing that will prevail against his church. And in the context of this, kind of, we see the foundation of this. It's Peter's confession. Paul talks about the church being built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. The foundation of that church is that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the one that God has sent. Everything rests on him. So as I said, it's not a case of either or. We can't dismiss church as out of date or irrelevant. It's at the heart of Jesus' purposes. But neither can we allow our perception of what church is like to be unchallenged. We can't afford to slip into passivity. And I think that's so tempting. You know, it's so easy to kind of think, I'm part of church and kind of church does it. Actually, discipleship reminds us we all have a part to play in that. And when we try to make sense of what it kind of means for us to be disciples together, actually it's the pictures that the New Testament gives us of church that are so helpful. And I'm just going to list a few of them and make a few brief comments about each of them. And as we kind of go through the rest of this term, we'll be picking up on some of these themes. We're reminded by Paul that the church is the body of Christ. You know, we talk about disciples being called to continue Jesus's ministry. Where do people see Jesus now? Well, there's only one place they're going to see Jesus now, and that's when they look at us. When they look at us as individuals, when we look at us as a body, there's only one kind of, you know, where is Jesus' ministry? Who is going to continue Jesus' ministry? Now he's in heaven. It's about us continuing his ministry. And so Paul reminds us that we're the body of Christ. You know, that it's the church that now does what Jesus did. And that's the heart of discipleship. But also he reminds us that although we're one body, we're Jesus' body, we're made up of many parts. That actually it's not about any one of us doing that. Actually, it requires all of us to do it together. That God has made each one of us different and given each one of us different abilities. And actually, it's only when we do it, when we use those gifts and share them and partner together, that actually the body becomes what Jesus meant it to do and fulfills what it meant it to do. There's no room for passivity in that. Peter says that the church is God's temple. It's the place where God's presence dwells. And, you know, whether it's people walking into this place when we're gathered or us walking into people's lives, wherever we go throughout the week, we don't go alone. The presence of God goes with us. People should meet Jesus in us because we're that temple that his spirit resides in. I love the image of household, the Greek word oikos, in the New Testament. It covers kind of everything almost in the kind of Roman culture, kind of the whole household, servants, all the people that worked as part of a household, but also kind of the intimacy of family. And Paul says that we're the household of God. We're his family. We're the people that are involved in the same business that he is involved in. It's the family business. Jesus always did what he saw the Father doing. That's what he invites us to participate in too. And oikos is a place where we find our place and we fulfill kind of, and we use the abilities that we have. But it's also the place where we should be able to be the most secure and the most loved, where we are in relationship with people that care about us and want to see us grow. And the final one is that the church is the bride of Christ. And I leave it to the end because it flips things. It flips things and it reminds us of God's ultimate purpose. It flipped things because it reminds us of Jesus's love for us, that he gave himself for his bride, that he looks to that day when all things will be brought together, and there's this kind of wonderful biblical picture of the marriage of the Lamb of God and the church. And it speaks of the devotion and the love of Jesus for us. And it's good to be reminded and challenged about our need for devotion to Jesus. But actually, it's good to flip it around the other way. And just to remember that we love because he first loved us. You know, what groom doesn't wait for that moment when they can stand at the front of church and just kind of look over their shoulder to see their bride walking down the church. And they're just kind of wrapped up in that moment. It's just one of the most precious moments. Sometimes grooms will say to me when I'm taking their wedding, can I look? Flipping heck, you better look. She's put an awful lot of effort on that dress. But it's just one of those precious moments. And that incredibly beautiful human image speaks of Jesus' devotion to us, to his people. And it speaks just of the glorious purposes that God has. That church isn't a forgotten or an outmoded thing. That the ultimate goal is a bride that is without blemish, that is complete and whole and radiant, whose master is waiting for her, Jesus. And it just seems to me that that we need to keep a very, very high view of what church is meant to be. We need to resist the temptation to flow and to be passive. And we need to choose to enter into everything that church was intended to be. Because it's in that context of household, of being connected to each other, of being the body of Christ, of playing our part, of being the place where God's Spirit dwells, that actually we help each other grow as disciples. We fulfill our calling as disciples. It's not either or, it's both and. Let's pray.